Lord, even when we don't have an ear and we don't turn ourselves to You, God, Lord, You're calling, God. Lord, in our darkest moments, God, Lord, in the depths of a pit, dear God, Lord, You said You call. Hallelujah. Lord, You cry out to us, God, Lord. Lord, that we would run after You, God. That we would reach to You, Father God. Lord, I pray right now. Hallelujah. Come on. I want you to hear this tonight. I really feel this in my spirit that He's calling you. I want you to know that that was a call to you. That was a call. Hallelujah. That was a song of Him calling your voice. That we would turn and hear. Whatever you're overwhelmed with, whatever's tried to overwhelm you, I want you to know that God's calling. Hallelujah. He's calling your name. Hallelujah. He's calling you out. Hallelujah. Come unto Me. All those that are heavy laden, all those that are weary. Hallelujah. Because I will give you rest. That you can lift up your head. Hallelujah. And you can say that I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Because of what He did for me. He's called your name, hallelujah. I pray tonight, hallelujah, that you turn your ear and hear, hallelujah. He wants to give you rest from whatever you've been battling, whatever you've been fighting, whatever been overwhelmed you. I'm here to tell you that He's calling your name to give you rest, hallelujah. That you would find hope and purpose, hallelujah, in Him. In Jesus' name, amen, hallelujah. Come on, bless somebody. Give somebody a hug. Children may go to their classes. Yes, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. No child left behind. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, listen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, God. Hallelujah. God, Lord, let our ears be open. Hallelujah to hear tonight, God. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know what? I want to tell you something tonight. That I'm overwhelmed. When I was standing here, I began to feel, and God just opened my eyes to kind of like reflect back from the moment that He set me free. He was there. And I remember the moment that He spoke and He called my name. He was calling out to me when I was in my darkest moment, most embarrassing moments of my life. When I was so caught up in drugs and addiction and self-will and self-promotion, that I remember it like it was yesterday, that I was sitting on a stool and some of my other addicted friends were sitting there and we were getting ready to smoke some crack. And as we were waiting for it to cook, I lifted my head up and I looked into the mirror. And I felt God put His hand on my shoulder and tell me, that's not who I'm meant to be. That's not who you are. But if you could see what I see, He said, if you could see what I see. And I want you to know at that moment, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit began to plant a seed within my heart. And as that seed began to grow, I want you to know that somebody else came along. Somebody else walked up to me. I want you to know that you need to share the gospel. You need to bless somebody. We were talking about this. Don't be afraid. Just let it out. Amen. Don't you think that what you got is not enough. Because I want you to know the words that were given to me next set me free and released me in one moment. Hallelujah. And it was somebody come up to me that I've heard 100 times. And they looked me in the eyes. And I felt God reach into my hands and say, Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. And it was like Jesus, it came off of His mouth to my mouth. And I heard it. And at that moment, I felt the warmth of God. This love began to invade me. Hallelujah. And I turned my ear to hear what He was saying. And I believed it. Come on, I believed it. Hallelujah. The enemy was pushing me, telling me, you can't do that. You can't go get him. He doesn't love you. He doesn't want you. But I believed the words. I confessed it in my heart and believed that God, You said You love me. And I believe it, God. And He set me free. Thank You, praise team. He set me free. Come on, tell somebody the most powerful words that you'll ever hear. Jesus loves you. Tell someone else and mean it. Oh, thanks, dear. Jesus loves you. Sometimes we want to say something. Oh, I got to say something. Wait for God to tell me. Just tell him Jesus loves him. Greatest words you'll ever hear. That's all you need to know. Amen. It ain't nothing I could say. Nothing special. Hallelujah. But I could sit down right now, because if you understand that, if you grip it, if you hear him calling, I love you. Hallelujah. It'll set you free. Hallelujah. I want you to know that, listen, my love for him has not come based upon any understanding or knowledge or something. It comes just from receiving and taking hold of what he did for me and loving him and receiving his love for me. It's not some of those. The greatest revelation I've ever had and ever will have is Jesus loves me, because that's my foundation. Amen. Listen, we've been talking about a lot of things. Come on out on Wednesday night. Don't miss it, man. Amen. God's dealing with our thoughts and our thinking. Amen. If you battle with those areas, come on out, because God's going to set people free. And he is, in Jesus' name. And listen, it says, and when Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. And arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his, and I can't get off this, he taught his climbing companions. I want you to know that, listen, I want him to refer to me as a climbing companion. Hallelujah. That will go to the ends of the earth, hallelujah, that won't stop, hallelujah, amen, that will press on, that I'm a climbing companion with Jesus. I want you to see and understand something, that these men, that what they received was not something, not a religious thing, not something from a book or anything else, but it was a relationship that they met Jesus on the side of a beach, where they were, in the midst of their emptiness and their brokenness, where they were at a place, what they were searching, and they didn't know what they were searching for. Come on. I don't know about you, but you ever been to a place where you're trying to find an answer for something, and you don't know what it is? I'm here to tell you that whatever you're looking for is Jesus. Come on, amen. He's the only one that can fill that void. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. It's all about Jesus. Nothing else. Amen. And when you come to that conclusion, I want you to know you'll be at peace. Finding my rest. Amen. So here they were. They're at this place, and Jesus came to them, and they heard the calling. They heard him call unto them, and he says, come, come. I'm going to make you fishers of men. I know you're looking for something. I know you're looking for. You tried to find it in this, but I want you to know you're going to find it in me. And they became the companion climbing partners, and they climbed that place. Something within them. They were overwhelmed by this love and relationship. Tell someone it's all about relationship. I want you to know that it's not religion. I want you to know I understand religion. You begin somewhere, but religion doesn't cut it for me. Just coming to church, hallelujah, starting a service and ending and walking out of here. I want you to know it's about a relationship. It's a stirring within your heart that you know you have a personal relationship with God Almighty, hallelujah, that he wants to walk with you. He wants to climb those mountains that are before you. He wants to be with you in the midst of those things. He wants the voice that you hear is his voice and his voice alone. That's a relationship that God wants you to walk in. A personal relationship with God. Every day. Every day. He cares about me. And he wants me to be set free. He wants me to be loosed. I want you to know that these disciples, that it was a relationship that they began to commit to, with him. And I want you, along the way, there was things that they failed. There was things that they had some mistakes along the way. There was moments in their lives where they sunk in the midst of the water. And they sunk down deep, but they reached for Jesus. That they heard his voice, even in the midst. Sometimes you're going to fall, but I want you to know, just keep climbing. Amen. Hallelujah. Just like Dory said, just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keeping your eyes upon him. Pressing on to him. Don't let nothing pull you back, because that relationship, let it be the most important thing. Amen. In your life. Because it's the most valuable. And this is a scripture that we've been just like last week, I'm going somewhere else than I was planning on. But he does his thing. Amen.
And this is the scripture. This is in the message. And this is in verse 5, 8. And he was teaching his disciples. He says, I want you to understand something. There's an invasion of a relationship that's coming upon you. The Bible says the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. It's an invasion, hallelujah, of all that he has and all he desires to pour upon you. Everything that he is, amen. It wasn't a military coup, but it was a heart takeover. It was a heart takeover, hallelujah. It was an invasion, hallelujah, upon my heart that set me free, that loosed me, amen. Come on, amen. And it took hold of me. And so Jesus was teaching these ones. He says, I want you to understand something. You're blessed in the midst of these things. And the one thing that he said was this, blessed are they. Are you blessed when you get your inside world? I want you to know that the only one that knows your inside world is God. I want you to realize and understand that God knows every part, every place. Sometimes in religion, we let God in the foyer. What a foyer is? The foyer is the opening just to the door where you come on in. And you're not even in a place where you're ready to even take your shoes off. You don't feel like you got to take your shoes off. You got to get comfortable yet because you're in the foyer. There's some towel there. There's rugs there. There's a coat rack right there. But we let him in that place. But I want you to know there's more places in our heart, hallelujah, that we need to let. There's more room in the house. There's more places. There's more rooms. There's even a place called the basement. Y'all have basements? We got basements in Pennsylvania. And I know most of you put all your extras in your basement. Those things that, Bill, you ain't never going to use again. Those shorts they used to wear when you were 18. I got a suit that I love, this suit, man. But I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't never going to be able to fit in that thing again. That's gone, gone, bye-bye. But I still hold on to it. Because I remember the day when I looked good in that suit. I want you to see something. I want you to know that all these places that God says that we open our hearts and let him in. Come on, amen. That we hear the voice. But God doesn't want to stop there, amen. But God wants to go, not to invade your space in a way that is, no. To set you free, hallelujah. To touch your heart. To begin to work out some things that we might have hidden or we might have placed in those places that we try to forget about. We try to put them down here. And I want you to know that when we're reminded of it, because it's in our heart, whatever's in our heart will come out when you're under pressure. Come on, when it all, you're pressed against the line, that whatever's in your heart's going to come out. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. The simplest thing is, whenever you're pressed with pressure, when someone comes up against you, whenever you're driving in your car and someone pulls out in front of you. Come on. In the midst of whatever that is that you're facing, some of those moments that whatever's in your heart will come out. And I want you to know that he loves you so much that he wants to loosen you from anything that's rooted. It's not about trying to find you false, but I want you to know he wants to cut things at the root so they can't grow no more. I want you to know he's less concerned about the fruit. He wants the root. Because sometimes religion deals with fruits. Got to look good on the outside. But there's a lot of root on the inside. Jesus dealt with it. He says, because a lot of people can make it shiny and look really good. We can make people think we're holy, but what matters is when I'm holy here. And Jesus said this. He says, blessed are they that when they get their inside world, the inside of their heart, every room, every area in our heart, right, then we'll see God on the outside. I'm here to tell you, I want to see God on the outside. I'm tired. of letting what's inside me, situations, pressures, come on, dictate what it's like on the outside. Come on, amen. But I want what's on the inside. I want Him to set me free that on the outside I see God. Amen. I see I'm blessed. Amen. And I take hold of it. That's pointy. It's not because I have a big belly. What's wrong? Listen. Let's look at Isaiah 6:1. No, not yet. Hang on. I just felt this right here. This just crossed my mind. Is that all right? I think it's in Luke 18. Yes. Listen to this. He's dealing with somebody that's religious. And Jesus isn't worried about... Listen, I want you to hear this and know this, that He's not worried about you trying to look good and proper. He wants to touch us on the inside. He does not want to just sit in the foyer. He doesn't want to sit just in the foyer. Hallelujah. He will. But I want you to know that He'll keep knocking at every place. And you say, hey, can I come in yet, Bill? Can I come in yet, Kelly? Can I come in? You don't have to tidy nothing up. You don't have to get anything fixed. Just let me in. I'll bring in everything you need. And it says that there was a certain ruler who asked, saying, good master... Isaiah, this is in Luke 18:18. Say, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He says, I want life. I want real life. I want the essence and the understanding of what it's all about. I'm tired of going through the motions. I'm tired of getting caught up in the cycle. I'm just living my life for a paycheck. But there's something within me that's calling, that's saying there's something more. And this was calling this guy. There was a calling that was within him saying, come on up higher. And so when he went to Jesus, he called him good master because he recognized that about him. He says, there's something about him. I need him. And he says, and Jesus said unto him, he says, why do you call me good? Nobody's good but God. Right off the bat, he touches right into that place. He says, listen, you tell everybody else around you that you said, come on in, but I'm stepping in and I want to come past the foyer. So I'm asking you this. You're calling me good, which means that's God. You're calling me master, hallelujah, which means king and Lord, ruler. Are you asking me in? He says, I want you to know. I want you to be at the heart. And he said this, and he says, and Jesus, he says, why do you call me good? He says, none's good except for God. I want you to get that place because I want you to know that if you really believe that I'm God, you're going to come with me. See, if you really believe, it's that not just religion. See, because religion, I want you to have a relationship with me. That you trust me and you know I'm good and you're going to follow me. Next verse. And he says, thou knowest my commandments. Do you not commit adultery? Do not kill? Do not... He's dealing with religious things. The dues things. Honor thy father and mother. And he said, yes. I've done all those things. I've done them not just recently, but from I was a child, as a little kid. I was working really hard to be that way. I want you to know that Jesus was looking to his heart because he was weary trying to be good. He was weary trying to get to a place where even others around him thought he had it all together. He said, but I want you to understand something. It isn't about what it looks like. Jesus says, you call me good, you want eternal life, and it ain't about those things. It ain't about you trying to get there. That's religion. You do all these things. No. He's talking about relationship. Because when you're in this love with Him, you will run and not grow weary. Hallelujah. You'll chase Him down. Amen. And he says, all these things are kept for my youth. And Jesus said, he says, and now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, you lack one thing. And he's going in his basement. He's going deep within his heart. Because nobody knows him like Jesus. He said, you called me good And if you can connect and hear me calling you now, because I'm calling your heart, and I'm going to touch that place in your heart. And if you're willing to sell, follow me. If you're willing to sell those things that you accumulated to make yourself feel good about yourself, self-worth, your self-will, your own agenda, if you're willing to sell it, tell someone, sell it. Let it go. You all know the song. I'm not singing it. I watched a lot of Disney movies. I have a daughter. Just let it go. And Jesus said to him, Now sell what you have and distribute it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. You'll have a treasure in heaven in the abode of God. Not just some other day. Come on. He's not talking about some other day. The abode, heaven is where God is. Tell someone it's where God is. It's where God is. And he says, follow me, and you will have your treasure there. And where your heart is, I'm going to be. That's your treasure. Let it be me. Let's go to our text. Isaiah 6, verse 1. I want you to memorize this. I want you to get this in your heart. This is our word for the year. Amen? This is our word for the year. And he said this, and I know I'm not going to go out. I'm just probably staying verse 1. So it can't be a long message, right? In the year of the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting on the throne. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. We're going to deal with a few things here. I want you to take hold of this. I want you to see this, because we're getting to a place where that I desire with all my heart to see him high and lifted up. And what I mean by that, I want you to get this and know that I see him high and lifted up above. And you all know what I'm talking about when I tell you that when things sometimes come against you, you feel like everything's against you. You feel like you have no power. You have no strength. You feel like, oh my gosh, how am I going to deal with all this stuff? That is the place where that I want to see him high and lifted up. Amen. He's not running. He's not hiding. Hallelujah. He's not afraid. He doesn't get off his throne. He stays upon his throne. Hallelujah. High and lifted up. He's in control. Tell someone he's in control. He's in control. Amen. He's in control. But the key thing is this, is I need to let him be on the foyer. And so there's a scripture here, and he sees something. He said he saw two things. One, he saw that the king died. And next, he saw the Lord. There was a life, there was a death, and there was a risen, one that was risen. Amen? I want you to see this. There was one that was dead and one that rose. One that dead and one that rose. I want you to take hold of this with your heart. I want you to get this. I want you to grip this. So who died? His name was Uzziah. Uzziah, you look in the Bible, he was one of the top kings of Israel, of Jerusalem. He was one of the top kings. But something happened. I want you to see here. We're going to just take a second to find out who Uzziah is, because we're going to have our, it's going to be our, up on the wall. So I need you to know who Uzziah is. And I want you to know that, see, God wanted to invade every part of his kingdom in his heart. He wanted him to know him high and lifted up. So we can look here and see in 2 Chronicles 26:5. I gave Randy some scriptures ahead of time, isn't that? We're going to shoot these out real quick. He says, moreover, Amaziah, you know it, gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands. He says, and I sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. He says, and as long as he sought the Lord, he made him to prosper. So I want you to see something, that he had visions of God. He might not have seen him in a place that he was high and lifted up yet, but he continued to press in like those disciples. Whether in the midst of your relationship with him, something's going to begin to grow within you. And you're going to have an experience through relationships and opportunities where you let God be God and you see him high and lifted up. Until it's become something that's natural. Come on, amen. Until you let him beyond the foyer and he gets in the dining room and he begins to eat with you. And then you let him come into the kitchen and you begin to open up the refrigerator and he begins to feel what you need to be taken hold of in the refrigerator. And then you come into the living room and you begin to sit in the midst of that place where you begin to commune with one another. See, I want you to see here that in the midst of this, he began to have visions, but something began to grip him. Something took hold of him. And I want us to see this and know that we need to press into God. We need to run with God. That fire burns within us. That excitement and love for God, that we see him high and lifted up. And he said, where are we at? Is that there? And he began to prosper. So God made him to prosper. Verse 26, 13 through 16, I believe. Is that what I gave you? Y'all okay? I want to read this out of my Bible too. And he says, and under their hand was an army, 300,000. I want you to see that he went from being a king at 16 years old. He began to grow. He began to have visions of God. He began to prosper. And everything around him began to increase. And just as his wealth increased, his popularity increased, something happened within him. And he says, and 500 made war mighty power. They had mighty power. And to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout the host of shields and spears and helmets and habergons. You know what those are. We all, I've seen it on eBay before. And bows and slings to cast stones. He says, and he made Jerusalem engines. Engines. And he invented by cunning men. Now, I want you to see this. These are war machines. And I want you to get this, understand, because this is powerful for us to take hold of, because this is who he was. And something within him, he was being driven within him. And as he was going, he was conquering things around him. Everything was being conquered. But in the midst of that, something rose up, and it was pride, and it was self-will. That he began to see himself high and lifted up above everybody else. That he began to see himself. And I want you to know that unfortunately, sometimes we do that when we tell God, I got this. Come on, I've been there sometimes where that in my own self-will, my own self-strength, I say, I got this, God. I can handle this, God. That I really don't need you. I can do this. Just like that young man that he said, I'm not going to sell. I'm going to keep doing it this way. But you're going to lose out on something more. Tell somebody something more. So he had these engines. These were big inventions. And actually what they were was they were catapults. Yeah, they would shoot arrows and they would just dominate the area. But I want you to know that God's faithful and God still was there. God still was looking. Hey, I'm right here. Come on, I'm right here. I want you to, sometimes that we receive Christ in our lives as our Savior, but He doesn't want to stop there. But He wants to keep on climbing with you. He wants you to know Him, hallelujah. That when those things come up against you, He wants to be there with you. He wants to rescue you. He wants to set you free. You don't have to do it on your own, because you're going to find yourself weary and trying to make weapons to get by. So, He says, and when they were strong, and when... He invented these things and the name spread. His name spread abroad. Everybody knew him, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. He was marvelously helped until he was strong. He came to a place where they quit resting in God and began to try to take over. See himself in a place of power and strength, not letting God be there. And I'm talking about our heart. I'm talking about the throne of our hearts. Sometimes we try to be king of our own hearts, our own self-will, telling God, I got this. I want to be at a place that every moment, every step that I take, I say, God, I need you. Lord, I don't want to be overwhelmed, but I want to be a conqueror in your name. I want to break through, God. I want to be broke down, busted. But I want to be mighty in your name. And so he says, and when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his own destruction and his own transgression. And he sought his own strength, self-exaltation, self-will. They stopped being in a place where he was hearing God call him. Now, I want you to know that what he's calling is he wants you, just you. Hey, you got to do all these things. No. He just wants you. Tell your neighbor, he just wants you. He just wants a relationship with you. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm talking about God Almighty. Hallelujah. The Lord God Almighty desires to have relationship with me, to abide within me. And he says, ooh, strong in our heart. It means pride. Sometimes we're doing God's job. But that's when we come out of a place out of relationship. Isaiah 66:1. It says, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne. I want you to get this. And the earth is my footstool. I want you to take this in your heart. I want you to take hold of this and see that God's everywhere. He's above the heavens. Hallelujah. He's in the earth. Hallelujah. He's everywhere. So no matter where you go, no matter where you hide, he's everywhere. I thank you, God, that you're everywhere. He was with me in the midst of that house when I was lost and I couldn't find my way. He was there to bring me back. See, at that moment, I was king of my heart. I had my own self-will, my self-exaltation. I was doing it my way. I was like Frank Sinatra. But he's everywhere. Even in the lowest place, the depths of the earth. And he says, and where is the house that you build unto me? He says, I'm everywhere, but I want to know, where's my house with you? I want to make my abode with you. I'm everywhere. You can't go anywhere without looking and seeing God's beautiful. God's awesome. Even people that don't even serve God look around and they say, wow, this is awesome. And he says, and where is the place of my rest? Where do I abide? Amen. He says, where do I abide? Ephesians 2:4-6. He says, but God. Say, but God. Who's rich in mercy. I want you to get this and understand that God doesn't run out of mercy. We do. There's sometimes where that we run out of mercy for somebody. But he don't. He never gives up. And he says, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. It was with his great love that he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Hath he quickened us together Say, He's called. He's called us in Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together. By grace you are saved. Not by what you do. Not by you trying to get there or work for it. Or try to find it in your own strength and might. He says, you're saved by my grace. By my love. Unmerited favor. A love that I poured out whether you want it or not. It's here. Right here. I want you to hear that. He's called your name and He has poured out everything for you to walk with Him. He didn't hold anything back. He's giving you the strength. All He wants you to do is walk in a relationship with Him. And that love that you receive from Him will cause you. Tell someone it'll cause you. It'll cause you to run and not grow weary. It causes me, hallelujah, to lift up my head. It causes me to run. It causes me to dance. It causes me to celebrate, hallelujah. It causes me, in the midst of turmoil, to rejoice. That's what love does. That's what love does. And He says, and even when you were dead in sins, hath He quickened us up together. By the grace you are saved. He hath raised us up together and made us to sit with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He made us to sit with Him in heavenly places. Even before you desired to be there, He had a place for you. That He's the King of your heart. I want you to see something, understand something. I know this isn't my wedding ring, but it's easier to take off because I can't get my other one off. And I never take that off. But this ring signifies something. It signifies my relationship with her. And when I do a wedding, I always tell them that this ring is covenant. It's powerful. Because it's a symbol of something. It's a symbol of my love and devotion to her. It's my symbol of covenant with her. And I always tell them that when she's not with you, she's with you. I want you to know that we're seated with Him. That it literally doesn't mean that I'm seated with Him. But it legally means I'm seated with Him. It legally means I'm seated with Him in the heavenlies. That I have a place. That I'm seated with Him. That I see what He sees. As I walk with Him. As I talk with Him. Hallelujah. I begin to see what He sees. I begin to hear what He hears. Hallelujah. That I begin to lose what I held on to that I thought was so important. I begin to let go. I begin to walk away from. I begin to sell it and say, I don't want that. I want Him. Because when I see it from His position, He's exalted. He's high and lifted up. He's not defeated. He's mighty. Hallelujah. He's victorious. Hallelujah. He never fails. He never gives up. He never runs out. He's not afraid of the enemy. He sits upon His throne. And in my relationship with Him, I see it. I see it. So no matter what happens around us, in here, I see Him high lifted up, sitting upon the throne. Hallelujah. They're going to come, they're going to bring communion. The Bible says that sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and His train. Say His train. You know what a train is? The train is that long robe that flows out. And it says His train filled. The glory of God filled the temple. The glory of God. Let me make it simple. It ain't some just smoke. It's something. It's greater than that. It's the goodness of God. Because Moses says that he asked to see. He says, I want to see your glory. And it says the goodness of God passed by. I want you to know that's enough. I don't need smoke. I just need the goodness of God. David said, hallelujah, I would have failed, I would have not made it if I would have not seen the goodness of God. And He wants me to see His goodness. He wants me to experience His love. He wants me to take hold of it and breathe it in. He wants to come into every area of my life, every single area. You know, if my wife wouldn't let me in certain places of our house, I'd really feel offended. You can go. Sometimes she does when I'm dirty, you know. You can't go in the living room yet. Oh, sit out here with the dog? Yes. No, on the porch. But he says, I seen him high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Say, filled the temple. The goodness of God filled the temple. It filled the temple. I want you to know that I am the temple of God. Hallelujah. He makes His abode within me. That He says, I want you to see it. That I begin to see the goodness of God filling up the temple. From one end to the other end. Hallelujah. From the bottom to the top. Hallelujah. The Bible says that my love, that you might know the depths of it. Hallelujah. That you might know the heights of it. That you might know the width of it. That you can experience it. That you can taste it. And when others come around you, they'll taste and see that I'm good. I'm not angry. I'm not mad. I'm loving. What I have for you will set you free. I love you. Stand to your feet. Say, that's all, man. That's all we need. And the Bible says this. Greater is He that is in me, that is in the world. And that's not just a cliche, but I can literally say it, that the goodness of God has filling me up. From the bottom all the way to the top. That those who are around will see. He said, arise and shine, for your light is risen. Arise and shine in the glory of the Lord. In the glory of the Lord. Listen, I want you to know that it's all about Jesus. Everything I preach comes through the cross. There's nothing that I do but Jesus. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm saved, I'm set free because of the blood, because of His sacrifice. I can live and I have power and strength because I partake of Him. I have a relationship that I walk. I don't want a dried up, stale, sour religion. But I want love, I want joy, I want peace, I want righteousness. I want to run and not go weary. I want those to follow after me. Love. Overwhelmed. So I want you to come. Brother Dale's going to let you out. I want everybody to come. Amen. I want everybody to come. Just come. Hallelujah. Because we do this in remembrance of Him. We do this to remind ourselves that what He did was enough. And that He loves you. I want you to take hold of it. I want you to take hold of what He's done. In Jesus' name. Come on, receive it in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I thank You, God. I thank You, God, Lord, that You desire so much, God. Lord, that word that You pressed into my heart, God, is a word of love. Hallelujah. Lord, a word of love, a word that desires a fellowship with Your people, God. A desire that You long to fellowship, God, Lord, to walk in every area, every trauma, every situation, no matter what it is, that You desire to walk with us. That we begin to see You high and lifted up. Lord, I thank You for that, God. I thank You for Your Word. I pray to God, Lord, that our minds and our hearts be enlightened and we begin to hear and see like we've never seen before the truth of who You really are and Your love for us. In Jesus' name. And we'll declare that we are
blessed and highly praised.
In Jesus' name.